p.m. Hello and welcome, everybody. I'd like to thank everybody for being on this call. It's the happy holiday time. It's Hanukkah, and it's almost Christmas, and Kwanzaa, and all of that. If you celebrate any of that, I hope it's a happy one for you. This is our fourth National Tech Seminar. It's sponsored by our NFBNJ Tech Division, and our first one was in March with Scott Waite.
Podcast download completed.
And the KNFB Reader. In June, we had Emil Lewis. He shared about his role at the Jernigan Institute, and that was a lively conversation. Our third was with Eric Duffy, and he spoke about his new role in the IBTC, International Braille and Technology Center, at the National Center, and also about IRA, the Visual Interpreter for the Blind. All of these are archived. They're not podcasts. It's different. It's a playback number. So they're archived, and you can access that via a number. I'll give it to you now. It's 515-604-9651. And the access code is the same as to get into this call, 612068#. If you have nothing to take it down with, don't worry. It'll be in an email. We'll send it out as much as we can through the NFB Net Listserv so everybody can listen to the conference. So our fourth installment, we have Jerry Marino to co-host with me, Janie Degenstein, and we will welcome Marty Schultz from Blindfold Games.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you.
And there we are. Good. Now, you're all muted, of course. And again, during the Q&A, if you want to unmute yourself, just do *6. I may unmute the whole group with... This way you don't have to unmute yourselves, but it's easier if you can just unmute yourselves with *6. And when we get to that part, I'd love for you to identify yourself and give me the state that you're from, and then I'll recognize you. Sometimes people, you know, two people or three people jump in at the same time, and that's fine. I just have to cue you up for any questions. So as Marty is speaking, or Jerry and I are asking questions, if you have a question or a thought, jot it down somewhere, open up your computer, whatever you need to do, remember it, and certainly we'll have time for Q&A.
Podcast download completed.
So we begin with a blast from the past from our internet radio show On the Bright Side from the year 2000. And, well, I started in 2008, I think, with From Our Hearts to Your Homes with Trish Ebel. And then we mutated into On the Bright Side with Janie and Jerry. And, Jerry, do you have that lovely intro?
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I'm looking on the positive. It's the right side. How are you doing, Janie?
Oh, fabulous. I like laughter. I'm on the light side.
Hey, you know what that means?
I think that means we're always looking on the right side of life.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
Podcast download completed.
I'm so excited. The show is about to begin.
So am I, with my straw hat and cane.
I got my cat shoes on. We're ready to go.
Come on, everybody. Time for the show.
Thank you, Jerry. Yay, it brings back memories. We had such a fun time. We're going to talk about that maybe later on at the end of the show, Jerry, right? You and I,
right,
the group, we'll talk about that. Good. So I'd love to introduce Marty now. Marty Schultz is the owner and developer of Blindfold Games. Marty, you're here with us?
Yes, I am. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Thanks for coming.
We'd love for you to just tell a little bit about who you are, you know, little bit about yourself.
Sure. Kind of a software developer, entrepreneur. I've started a bunch of companies over my career in a variety of different things related to computers.
Podcast download completed.
Kind of stumbled into making these games about 4 years ago when I was doing some volunteer teaching at my daughter's school. in, you know, one of my multiple attempts to kind of retire. I can kind of go into the story now. Or you
sure, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. So I was when my daughter was about 11 years old, about 11, 12 years old, about 4 or 5 years ago, I noticed that she was making up a birthday wish list every single day and, you know, write down a paper and throw it out. She's not visually impaired at all, but every day there'd be a new list. I said I should create an app for that where kids can do their birthday lists or their Christmas or Hanukkah wish lists. So I thought I could either build this app, because I've always done programming, and then focus test it with her friends, or I could turn this into a STEM learning opportunity. So I contacted the head of the school where she attends, and I said, I want to run an after-school club for about 6 weeks. We'll meet with the kids about an hour a day, 3 days a week. And by then, I'll show the kids how to build the app. We'll build the app together, or the kids will kind of design it, and I'll do the program in the evening, and we should get this whole thing done in about 6 weeks. After they fingerprinted me and we went through all the process, we started the club. 6 weeks later, we had the app running. And while the app didn't really do really well in the app store, the kids learned a lot and had a great time. These were mainly fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And the head of school says, can you run the app club again next semester? And by the way, after you drop off your daughter every morning, would you mind teaching the middle schoolers how to program? I said, fine, I'll do that. And when I met with the kids for the app club the second time, they said they wanted to make a game. And I said, okay, I'll do the programming, but I'm not going to build a game like that similar to the million other games in the app store. And they went off 2 weeks later. They came back, didn't have any unique ideas. And I said, again, I'm good with this, but I don't want to have to hire an expensive graphic artist. So can we do something that doesn't need the screen? And one of the kids said, why don't we make a driving game for blind people?
Brilliant.
And I thought about it for a while. I said, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. I've never met anyone who was visually impaired before, but I figured how hard could this be? So we spent really the next 6 months or so building Blindfold Racer. And the way I got the kids going into it is I had, I think, a girl blindfolded in the middle of the room. And, no, the girl was in the middle of the room saying, cow, cow, cow. And the boy was blindfolded from the other end of the room. I told the boy, walk up to the girl, but don't touch her, and then walk around her. And use the ability to hear where her voice is coming from as a way to figure out where you are. And he did it, and from that, the kids were able to understand the idea of the game, which is you're driving, and if the music gets too loud in your left ear or right ear, that means you're getting too close to the side of the road, and then you either aim for prizes in the middle of the road, or you avoid hazards in the road, and avoid hitting any of the animals. And the kids got it. We built one level after another where the levels got more and more complex. And by the time the end of the semester rolled around, we had a 35-level game done. And we decided, okay, now we should test it with some visually impaired people. So we had a contact with the Miami Lighthouse of the Blind, and we organized a Saturday for some of the teams to come in. And they absolutely fell in love with the game. They had lots of great suggestions for us. Implemented those suggestions over the next 2 or 3 months over the summer. And then I put it in the App Store, and it jumped to the top of the Apple Biz list for kind of best accessible game. I was then up in the Boston area where I did most of my software career, and I was invited to a meeting with Tim Charlson of the ACB and Judy Dixon of the Talking Book Program, the Library of Congress, and a few other people. And they invited me over to their house and said, you know, let's talk about games. So I went there, and we hung out there for about 6 hours together, and they came up with all sorts of ideas for games. Judy asked me to do Sudoku games. Doug Wakefield asked me to do a cryptogram game. I had met Joanne Becker a few days later, and she wanted me to do a blackjack game because she just got back from blackjack and loved it and was playing with a sighted colleague who would read the cards for her. So just one game led to another, and here we are like 4 years later, and I think we've launched about 85 games.
Terrific. What do you think, Jer?
Well, you know, I've spent many an hour playing those games. By the way, on your millionaire game, I won $1 million. I'm still waiting for the check.
it's in the mail, okay?
Yeah.
I've heard that, but I've used that line myself before.
I know.
But, Marty, I got to tell you that the... I played the two spider today. something like that it's you know, it's an easy game. There's a challenge to these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's...
Every one of the games I build, I try to do it so that way whether, you know, you're a novice player or really advanced, the game has a lot of replay value. And that's one of the things you have to think about when you're building apps, which is, one, how long does it take somebody to learn enough of the game that they can enjoy playing it? Because we really only have somewhere between 90 seconds and 5 minutes to wow you. And it was especially true when I first started out here. And if it doesn't wow you quickly, you'll reject it. And that's true whether you're visually impaired or whether you're sighted. Within the sighted world, people are a little more forgiving. But when I first started out making these games in the visually impaired world, there was a very high criteria for rejection. Now people kind of know my game, so if it's a little rough at first, I'll certainly hear the feedback. Each of the games I do takes me anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 weeks to write a game. Then I test it with about 50 different testers across the world, all English-speaking. And they'll kind of work with me for the next 2 to 3 months until the game is perfect. Then I release it in the App Store, but not really announce it, and then people kind of randomly stumble into it, and then they'll find another set of bugs or suggestions, and then when all that's over, I'll announce it in the home screen when you start up any of the games. And, for example, Blindfold song name, which was just really announced yesterday officially. I started working on that back, I think, in September, and it was a lot of evolution in terms of what music to include and how to make it nice and easy and how to make it exciting, but generally, the games have to be good whether you're a novice player or whether you're an expert. I was looking back at the I'm going to be releasing a crossword puzzle game soon, and it's kind of based on some of the crossword puzzles that are in the New York Times. The Monday is the easiest day, and unless you have experience at doing crosswords, even the easiest crossword puzzle can be really, really hard. So I decided with that game, what I'll do is I'll start you off in very easy mode, which means three quarters of the puzzle is already filled in for you, and you just have to fill out the rest, and then you can move to half of the puzzle filled in for you, mm-hmm. then a quarter of the puzzle filled in, and then finally, when you really understand how to use puzzle cues and solve this, you can really start attacking the puzzles as anyone who is a good puzzle player does. So every game, I really learned how to make it super simple for a novice, but keep it really complex as you get better and better.
That's smart. So you have nice different levels there, so everybody feels competent and not frustrated so much. So basically you answered questions 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 from my list, which is great, but I'm always used to getting other numbers. So first, what kinds of games did you make? You already talked about that. How did you get started? So 3 is, which games are best for kids? Which games are best for adults?
Well, the games that are best for kids really have to do with what the kid is into. I was looking back through the number of downloads I had on the games, and we just passed 500,000 downloads across all the games.
Wow.
It just blew me away. But one of the most popular games ended up being Blindfold Barnyard, which is really good for kids, and adults love this too, where it'll pop up a new animal on the screen, say, every 15 seconds. Then you have to drag that animal to one of the four corners, one of the four edges of your iPhone or iPad, the north, south, east, or west fence. When you collect enough animals on that fence, you swipe in the direction of that fence, and all the animals go into the barn, and the more animals you had on the fence, the more points you get. If you drag the wrong animal to the fence, so if you're collecting cows on the north fence, and then you drag a horse there, all the animals run away.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really remember what's on the four fences. And as you move around in the screen, it'll say, okay, the cow is to the northeast, or the cow is at 11 o'clock, depending on how you have it set up.
Right.
So you find the animals, and then they start coming on faster and faster. So when you first start out playing, maybe it's every 30 seconds. As you get better and better, it'll be once a second, and then another animal popping on that screen, and you have to move them quickly into the barn because there are too many animals.
Oh,
I did that version. That was very popular. Kids love that. I also have a version of Blindfold Hopper, which is kind of similar to the old Frogger video game.
Mm-hmm.
I just came out with Battleship. I have Bopping and Simon and things like that. So I have a lot of games that kids love. For adults, they tend to either go for the word game or the TV game show games, like Do You Want to Be a Millionaire, Family Feud, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. So I have all those. And in word games, it's like I probably have already, I've had this like probably 10 to 15 different word games. From Hangman to Word Cookie is going to be announced soon, to Word Scramble, to Word Search, so it goes on and on. Now, I did the whole set of casino games, where I think the first one I did was probably on Blackjack, actually, Joanne Becker, and then from there I did video poker and roulette and craps, and then I finally did bingo. And what's interesting is anyone writes to me, if you follow my blog, blindfoldgames.org, or you follow my Twitter, which is at blindfoldgames, you notice about a week ago I said, I just put 7 games up there that somebody just writes to me, I'll give you a coupon for one of those 7 games. And the games are Dominoes, Breakout, Bingo, Connect Four, Phrase Madness,
Hearts,
and one more. I forgot that one. And I think the number one demand out of there was Bingo, followed by Dominoes, followed by Hearts.
Great.
So again, if anyone listening wants to get a game, or you, you know, when you listen to this on the archive, you know, just shoot me a mail at holiday@blindfoldgames.org, and I'll shoot you a coupon for a game.
Great.
But I like the Battleship. Now, I go back far enough that we used to make a 10x10 grid on a piece of paper and play Battleship. And then they came out with electronic Battleship because that wasn't accessible. You know, the game you would just buy in a Target or something. But this Battleship game, I love when I sink one of those ships. The sounds, and I developed a strategy in order to do better. But I always wimp out and choose a poor player. tell us about that.
One of the hardest things in the game is coming up with a strategy for your opponents that can go from anywhere from a poor player up to an expert player. So when I end up building a game, it's real easy to build the game engine itself and have it follow the rules. The hard part is reading through...
Hello?
The recording has started.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I forgot to start the recording. Anyway, go ahead. We're starting from now. Hello, everybody. Yeah. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So one of the things I have to do is a lot of research on how to play the game really, really well. And in some cases, it's easy to figure out what the strategy is. In other cases, I have to read through people's master's theses, or look at how other people wrote this game and come up with a strategy that's going to be challenging. I think in Monopoly, it took me, I did the first set version of Monopoly pretty quickly because the rules were so simple, but to come up with a good strategy to play against somebody took me about a year to find something, and it ended up being somebody's thesis written in French, so I had to use Google Translate to translate English to figure out what the best strategy is. And in Battleship, there's a couple of strategies that people have analyzed. Some math professors actually computed the number of minimum moves you can to actually win the game. The best strategies to do that. So the expert player tries to be as good as possible.
So those people that are listening and just got into this call, I'm sorry about that. The opening of this message, this tonight's call was not recorded. We started about 3 minutes ago. We actually started about 15 minutes ago. So we are speaking, Janie Degenshin and Jerry Marino are hosting this call, and we're speaking with Marty Schultz, owner and developer of Blindfold Games. And he is in his discussion of how he got started and some stories about his games. So we're in the spot right now where I'm going to ask him what the most popular game is. Can you tell that with the 500,000 hits that you had? What's the most popular?
Like I was saying, we had 500,000 of the games have been downloaded. The number one download is Blindfold Racer. Probably number two is Barnyard, and number three is probably Bowling. Bowling has been real popular, and the bowling took a long time because that was the first time I actually used what's called a physics engine with the game. It lets you emulate real-world events. So when the bowling ball hits the pins, you want the pins to scatter properly. And to program that on its own would be hard, but with a physics engine, which is incorporated in a lot of games on the iPhone, you're able to say, okay, the bowling ball weighs 10 times as much as a pin does, so when it hits the pins will scatter, and the bowling ball kind of keeps going in the same direction. And I worked with a couple of people in the blind bowling to make sure I got all the scoring right and all the game worked properly. But those games all had over 20,000 downloads.
Wow. I mean, I get a gutter ball, I do very well with that.
Aww.
But Marty, I was hoping for the song tunes, and I love that. I purchased the 60s, and I, unless some of the problems, I don't swipe the right way, and I get my notification screen, or I get the context menu, or whatever they call it, but most of the time, I get a 48 or a 49,
that's,
you know,
good.
When it comes to music. When it comes to any other subject,
no, his best subject is the Honeymooners. He get 100 on that one.
Oh, I'd like a hot, you know, or a tribute, but yeah. But I can while away the hours.
Yes, you can.
Sitting there. I love the blackjack, and I don't know what the strategy is, but when I get like two jacks or something, I just love to swipe down with two fingers and split them just to hear the sound.
Aww.
You know, but
The sound is something I learned early on when I was doing the games, which is when I met with those four people up in Boston right at the beginning of this, they said that the two things you want to have in the game is a lot of physicality and a great soundscape, and I really go out of my way to try to make the soundscape as fun as possible, which is why Battleship sounds so realistic.
Yeah, I have to compliment you on that, because my wife, on the other hand, is saying, Jerry, you got work to do.
Yep. So how can people learn more about the games? Where would they go? What would they do?
You should visit blindfoldgames.org, and if this didn't make it into the archive, I just want to repeat it, which
yeah.
is if somebody sends an email to holiday@blindfoldgames.org, they can pick one of seven games to get for free, and those games are Hearts, Dominoes, Breakout, Crazy Madness, what am I missing?
Crazy Eight
wasn't one of those.
Oh.
Hearts, Dominoes, Bingo. Wait, did you say Bingo?
Bingo, yeah, Bingo.
And bingo. You won the prize.
If they visit blindfoldgames.org, there's a blog that talks about the whole offer. I blog about twice a week, and they can follow me at @blindfoldgames.
Great. So what new games are in the pipe?
Lifehold Song Name just came out, as we were talking about. I'm working on a crossword puzzle. I have Word Cookie coming out in a little while. I have a shape puzzle coming out. And then I'm going to start on some sort of infinite runner game. It'll be similar to Blindfold Racer. You'll be driving or running or something like that. But instead of with Blindfold Racer, where you have to move from level to level, and each level is really different, this will randomly put up different obstacles that you have to get by or prizes to do. And the game will go on forever until you run out of lives.
Cool.
Kind of the way you play pinball, where you have three balls and you get more balls as the score goes up, but it's still, you can let that game go on forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the sound of pinball. It reminds me of my wasted time of my youth.
So, Marty, we had a couple of emails. One of them was from somebody, believe it or not, from Alaska. And
okay.
One of the questions she asked was, she thought that you made early on a game that involved voiceover. Is that correct? Like to teach voiceover?
To teach voiceover?
Or
no,
using voiceover
gestures,
something like that?
Yeah, well, recently I came out with what's called a blindfold gesture bop or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And that was actually built because I was getting a lot of requests for bop, and even though there's another game out there called Zany Touch, people wanted me to do one. And I was talking to the guys over at the Braille Institute in Los Angeles, and he said he has a problem that he's running into a lot of seniors who are starting to lose their vision, and they're still not familiar with mobile technology. So he said, can we do something that could both teach them how to use the gestures that they're going to need to know on the phone? So I created this version of called Gesture Pop, a gesture crack. I forgot its name offhand. I changed the name about three times until I settled on this one. And you can start out with just like three or four gestures, like swiping and shaking and tapping. And then by the time you're up to higher levels, there's a choice of like 15 different gestures. Some of those gestures are things to help you learn how to use the rotor and learn how to do pinching and things like that. So that game actually has gotten pretty popular. And the other thing we're doing with some of the games, I've had a lot of requests from people who want to be able to use the game in a much more voiceover fashion, so using their Braille display.
Yes.
So I'm experimenting with that with one of the games, working with a couple of my testers, and we'll see how that goes.
Good.
And then I'll kind of go the games, but I'll hit a handful of the games to see how that goes and what the reception was like.
Good, because we had a couple of emails about that, too, so that's wonderful.
We got an email from Scott. I found out he lives in Charlotte, and he was concerned about deaf-blind and using voiceover as opposed to...
Go ahead, Marty.
The first game I'm working on along those lines with some of my testers who are giving me feedback is to take Uno, which I call Blindfold Wild Card, and have it be worked completely off a Braille display. And then once that's worked out and we get kind of a pattern, I'll kind of go through some of the word games, some of the other games that don't need a soundscape, which would still be fun.
I guess you also have to be concerned about copyrights, right, with names?
Yeah, I mean, Apple won't even let anything through the store if you're violating somebody's copyright. That's why Monopoly is called Opoly.
Right.
And Uno is called Wild Card.
Yeah.
You know, when you talked about gestures, it's a good thing you're not from New Jersey, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
the other question that popped up is, and, you know, one of the things that I like to do is to, you know, purchase packs and, you know, upgrades and things like that. But I look at the amount, like 99 cents for this and, you know, $1.99. Do you receive any funding or is this all, like, out of your pocket and your own time? And
yeah, well, it's kind of like a hobby that loses money. So the money from the apps basically goes into the marketing of the apps, so a little bit of software for, you know, purchasing development tools. But most of it is just to continue the marketing efforts. Which, you know, runs multiple thousands of dollars a month by the time I have to hit everywhere. But the games certainly don't pay for my time. This is just as a hobby filling in for, you know, until I figure out what to do next. And, you know, that's why it's kind of I try to keep the prices to be reasonable and low, knowing it's never going to make enough money to pay a salary, but certainly it should be in accordance with the value of the entertainment. And consider that a lot of people who are legally impaired are on fixed income. So I try to manage what's reasonable.
Right. And I encourage people I talk to, you know, if you like a game, you know, get an extra pack or I love the unlimited, especially when it comes to the unlimited dollars. You know, I use my $200, swipe to the left, get another $200, use that again, and
right.
You know, and it's but I thoroughly enjoy doing that, and I would encourage people out there to support that. Did you ever take that back? Now I know you said you use beta testers. Are you looking for people to beta test, or you have enough, or?
Yeah, if people want to be beta testers, they should write to me, and then I'll usually say okay. You know, now I have enough, but if you know, check back in 3 months, because people will beta test for about a year, year and a half, and then they have enough other life responsibilities falling on their lap. So I have maybe 25 who've been with me for a long time, and then others kind of come and go.
Hmm. Great. So I think I'm going to open it up to question and answer. So if you want to ask a question, you need to unmute yourself now with *6. I need you to identify yourself, say the state you're from, and be recognized, and then you can ask your question to Marty.
Is anyone out there?
Anybody want to make a question?
Ken Lawrence, New Jersey.
Ken Lawrence, New Jersey. He's our
good
gamer tonight. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. Marty, I know you guys have partnered with RS Games, and I host a weekly chat on Out of Sight where we play on RS Games. We play on RS Games on Monday and then the Clinton C Playroom on Wednesday. But midweek of this week, Wednesday night or Thursday, RS Games will probably be putting a new game up. Now, when they put something new up on their client, how soon do you get it to blindfold games? So that some of my RS Games players...
Right. The only complexity will be how they want to do the pricing on that, and then I have to make small modifications to the game itself to handle this new product that they're going to have. But I don't, for the most part, I don't have to change anything. And we're going to move over the next few months to add more lend themselves to that, and I'll be done with there. I'm just, the piece of software I wrote for RS Games simply talks to their game server from your phone. That's right. So I just looked at how to talk to their game server from their PC product, their PC program and their Mac program, and then wrote something to talk to the game server similarly on the iPhone, and then just came up with all sorts of ways to have things like gestures on the iPhone map to things that might be on the keyboard. So there's a lot of work at first, but at this point, if they do a new game, it should not take as long to add that game to the system. Because they had mentioned to me, well, I was talking to them the other day, they told me they were coming out with a couple of new games.
That helpful, Ken?
Yeah, yes. We've had a couple of players that have come in and played while we're playing on the client on our computers. There's been a couple, at least one player has been playing on their iPhone through the blindfold game, and we get a pretty good chat. Although I bumped it today, I missed it today, but Monday and Wednesday we do that on our site.net.
It'll be on the archives. They'll be hearing it. Great. Thank you, Ken. Is there anybody else that wants a question answered?
Rebecca,
Eddie from
Jersey.
Angela. Okay, hold on one second. Let me take Rebecca. I heard her first, and then I heard a gentleman. What's the name of the gentleman?
Andy Edison.
Oh, Andy and Edison, and then Angela Perrone. Okay, very good. Rebecca, you go first.
Okay. I want to know if I download your games, is there a instruction letting me know the gestures or how to play that game, how to, you know, start it, what the points are, how to get the points, so forth and so on? Is that, you have that audible on the system?
Yes, there are actually two ways you can do this. If the game is more than about 6 months old or so, you can actually go to the website, blindfoldgames.org, and one of them actually has a user guide. But in every single game, when you get it, there's a user guide that will completely describe how the game is played, what the gestures are. A lot of times, if there are a lot of gestures, it doesn't have another section to just describe the gestures. It talks about how to score points in the game. And then if there are specific things you need to know to become better at the game, I've copied strategy guides from somewhere else on the web into the game so you know how to be the best possible player. I think I did that in Battleship, so that way, you know, I looked at, you know, what's the best way to play Battleship and score the most points, and I found somebody who actually thought about it. That's like a six-paragraph article, so I included it as part of the game.
Oh, okay. One more question.
Go ahead.
Can I download your games on a Samsung?
No, the games are only
available on the tablet. Is that accessible with the Samsung?
No, the games are only available on the Apple iPhone, iPad, and iPod, and that's because the rights to the Galaxy, the rights to Android is a completely different language, and it would always like redoing everything from scratch.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Okay.
Marty, while you're talking, could you just highlight a little bit on how you configure the games? That's a feature that I love a lot. It's very configurable. You can change speed. Well, you know what it is. You tell us.
Yeah, I mean, in every one of these games, I get so much feedback from different people wanting the game to operate this way or that way. I just have a very large setting section where you can have the game behave pretty much any way you want. Even with voice, you can pick what voices you want, how fast you want the voice, what kind of pitch you want out of the voice. If you're playing a game that has a lot of different variants, like even Monopoly, what rules you want to have in Monopoly, what you don't want, that's true in Walk and Crazy 8, and Wild Card, and Solitaire. So all these games, if there are different ways you're familiar with playing this game, either from your childhood or the rules you think should be done, we probably have a setting in those that allows for those rules.
Great. The next person to ask was Andy from Edison. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, so what is your process for your soundscape? Do you have like a sound designer or a sound library, or how do you do that?
Basically, I just search the when I build a game, I kind of search the web to say, okay, let's talk about Battleship. and over again, and then randomly I'll play one of those sounds. And if you sink the boat, I play one of five different boat sinking sounds. Mm-hmm. So it's really just a matter of searching the web and finding the right sounds to use that are free. And then there are like two or three websites that have excellent sound libraries that don't charge anything for their sounds.
Wonderful.
Very cool.
Any other questions, Andy, or are you good?
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Angela, you're up.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to ask, I know you specifically talked about the iPhone. Are these available on iPad? And what website can you go to get them?
Yes, every one of these are on the iPad as well. If you, the easiest way to find a game is to visit blindfoldgames.org, and then there's an accessible page there that gives you a pointer for every single game. And then so let's say you want to play Blindfold Cryptogram. There would be a line there. You click it, and it would take you right to the page. Download that from the App Store, and it'll download it onto your phone or your iPad, and then give you a whole bunch of free plays. And then if you decide you like it, you can always upgrade.
Very good. And any more questions? Very good. I guess you're good. Okay, anybody else with a question? Comment.
Anne-Marie Cook, New Jersey.
Anne-Marie Cook, welcome, honey.
Anne-Marie.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi.
So my question is, only because I've had you on speaker while I'm doing something else here, can one play, I get you can play the games on iDevices, but can you also play on a PC?
No, they're completely different.
Okay, so you just the format is on iOS devices. Okay, with voiceover on, I take it, yeah?
Well, no, actually, you don't need voiceover on. The games are self-voicing. It's really one of the menus that I use voiceover, but when you're in the game, if I have to do self-voicing, because otherwise the gestures that operate the game would get in the way of the voiceover command, so it's self-voicing.
So how do you get enough revenue to support this wonderful enterprise?
I don't.
But if you want to contribute, dial 1-800-JANE-DAGGETT. No. our technology treasury.
It's basically it's a hobby for me. I don't make any money out of that. And the price of the games really goes, like I mentioned earlier, into the cost of the marketing and building and buying things when I need to buy them.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Janie and Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Anybody else? Questions?
First round, how much does it cost?
Depends on the game.
All the games are free to download, and the upgrades go anywhere from like $1 to $6 based on how much entertainment that upgrade will give you, how complex it is.
So basically, you download the game for free, and you can play it for free until you can't play it for free because you played it through, and then you want to either upgrade or just continue to play it like that.
Oh.
Okay. Great. Anybody else?
I have another question. Is there someone out there?
I thought I heard somebody.
Someone out there?
Linda DeBardinas.
Linda, go ahead, honey.
Linda.
Hi, Jerry, you said the same thing for every girl that comes on the call. You're so cute.
I just wanted to thank you for doing this. I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing. And thank you very much. I wish you much success with this, and I hope you prosper in the new year.
That is very
well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's the appreciation I get from the community that really motivates me.
That's terrific. And the fact is that he had nobody in his family, right, that was blind. He just did this with his daughter and developed into these games. I think it's awesome. You know, lots of times.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, we have people in our lives that are visually impaired, and we jump in and help. But to have a sighted person just say, "Let me jump in and help," is really a testimony to you, Mari. That's awesome.
Right.
So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else with a comment?
Jimmy from Jersey.
Okay, I heard Jimmy from Jersey, Johanna Bacon, Ken Lawrence. So let me go with Jimmy from Jersey. Go ahead, honey.
I just want to thank you for these awesome games. I've been a big fan of your games ever since Racer, and the one I've been playing the most is RS games. I'm always playing RS games a lot. I really, really commend that, because I remember the days when I started playing RS games on the web client with an iPad and or an iPhone, and it wasn't that much fun. So, like, thank you for developing that. Thank you for developing that game.
Aww.
A lot.
Well, thank you.
Aw, that's nice, Jimmy. Johanna, you're next.
I'm sorry that I came on at 8:30, because this sounds quite interesting. And I, too, thank you, like Linda Bardenas, for doing this, the little that I'm getting from it. And, you know, so I'm going to have to look at the notes now. But,
well, that's okay. You can get the playback and listen to the beginning. The first 10 minutes, I thought I recorded it, and it didn't record. I never heard the record button. So those 10 minutes are gone, but we kind of reiterated it throughout the rest of the time.
Yeah.
After Johanna was someone else. Who was that?
Ken Lawrence.
Go ahead.
Okay. A little earlier, you talked about developing games with death line, and it reminded me of something that came to my mind. You developed a version of your Wheel of Fortune game, your Spin and Salt game, called Spin and Salt Grail. Now, it sounds familiar. Was that intended to be a sort of teaching tool? I know in one of our chapters here in New Jersey, Rebecca's chapter, they have Braille classes at the end of the meeting. Sounds like that would be a great gimmick to use in one of those classes, to spin and solve Braille.
That would be, you could make Rebecca understand that, and maybe she can incorporate that. That's cool.
Yeah, let me tell you a little about the history of that game. I did a podcast with some of the people over at the Hadley School for the Blind, and a couple of the students there recommended what they said. Why don't you take your Wheel of Fortune and turn it into a Braille Wheel of Fortune to test out contractions? And I ended up working with Duxbury Software to translate slews of words into the contracted versions of Braille for that, and then published the game. And I went back about 6 months ago and improved a lot of the features of it. I had to go back again and improve it again. I have some more ideas. But the general idea was for people to be able to practice Braille contractions in that game. I was hoping it would be used in some of the schools that are teaching Braille. Getting back to your deaf-blind issue, I kind of brought that up earlier. We're taking a look at some of the games to see which of those we want to operate fully from a Braille display.
Yes, very good. Anyone else?
Misty Hagen.
Misty, go ahead, hon.
Yes, I wanted to thank the guy Jimmy that was just talking, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have known any of the games and so forth, but I did download the Barnyard, and I'm playing it, and the bowling, and I'm having fun with them.
Oh, that's great. That's the kids' games, but good for you, Bissy.
Yes,
kids, right?
It is.
That's right. Good girl.
While away the hours.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, we have about 10 more minutes, and if anybody else wants to make a comment or suggestion.
Marty, what would happen if someone's playing the game and they find a glitch or a problem where it doesn't work like it's supposed to? Is there any way they could contact you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's even an item in the settings screen where you can send an email to me.
Oh, that's great.
That's great, yeah.
Super. You got it all figured out there, Marty. You think you did this for a few years. Yeah.
Ken Lawrence with a follow-up on that.
Okay, Ken.
When one of the out of sight members was doing iFun gaming, we were playing a lot of the blindfold games. They would, and I of course didn't have an iPhone, but I'd still go into that chat before mine. And we were playing one day. We were playing that game Words Within Words, and
uh-huh.
I think it was fairly new because we were finding words that. They were saying we're invalid words that we knew were valid words. So there is always, you know, things. And the other game we tested 1 week, I think he's one of your beta testers. His name is Charles, and we were playing your Deal or No Deal game 1 week, and we both stunk at it. By the way. I think I gave away a $750,000 case.
at the end of the game.
Oh, boy. Thank God it was only for pretend, right?
That's funny.
Aww.
That's right. Marty, has anyone... I'm sorry, but...
I was going to say, in the word games, it took me a while before I found the right set of dictionaries to be able to validate your words again. So I started out with some Scrabble dictionaries and other things. All raised properly and had people sign off on it until a couple months ago. But it took a long time because there were all sorts of words that should have been there that weren't and words that were there that shouldn't have been. So at this point, we should be in good shape.
Anyone else with a comment? Okay, Jerry, you can wrap it up with Marty, and then I'll wrap it up with Marty.
Well, Marty, I have to tell you again that we appreciate the endeavor, the hard work. I love to sit on my porch, and I sit there and play a game, and then I realize, hey, it's 1:30 in the morning here, and I get time to go to sleep. But I tell you, it is habit forming. But the gambit of games and whatever, I really appreciate it, and I think you should do more. If anybody has, did you mention that you're also willing to take thoughts on new games? If anybody has
yes, definitely. If people have ideas for games, they should send an email to marty@blindfoldgames.org.
There you go.
Sounds good, Jamie.
Might be the next creator of some game because of being on this call. That's awesome. Marty, you spent a lot of time with us. I spoke with you last week. We've been on constant emails back and forth. You're very approachable. You answer things immediately. As soon as I asked you, would you like to be considered for the December event, you said, I'm in. So I appreciate the fact that you're quick, you're sweet, you're a very nice man, and we had a wonderful conversation a couple of times. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the blind community people that are either playing these games or just the fact that you made them and incorporated them in your life, which is meaningful to you. Of course, it's meaningful to us because we are the recipients of it, but the person that's doing it has no sad eyes, no trouble with seeing, and you just thought beyond that, and you had the vision to help us, and I really, really appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Well, thank
Linda
you
Blendez.
For your kind comments.
Mm-hmm. Johanna Bacan?
Yes.
Where, Marty, where are you from?
I grew up in New York, lived in Boston for a while, and moved down to Miami about 14 years ago.
Oh, so you're in Miami?
Yeah.
Linda Melendez?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else with a comment?
Okay, unmuted. Linda Melendez?
Yes, Linda Melendez.
I wanted to take the opportunity, if it's okay, Janie, to invite everyone to the first Sports and Recreation Division of the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey's conference call scheduled for Wednesday, December 20th. Call number is 605-468-8005. Access code 460-994. And please join us as we build our newly established Sports and Recreation Division of New Jersey.
Very good. And so for all of you that are listening, this is our fourth installment this year. In the year 2018, Jerry and I may be coming up with starting it as like our Old on the Bright Side show and offering a guest section of the show. And then there'll be a tech part and maybe even a book corner, just like we used to do in the old days.
Stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, and just some little video clips, but audio clips that we can play for you and make us laugh. So I wish you all a happy, healthy, and safe holiday. I hope that everybody is careful, more importantly, happy, but most importantly, healthy. So whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, at least be safe and be careful, and just remember to be healthy and safe. So we're going to sign off right now, and I'll end the conference. And I thank you all for joining us. And remember, the conference number, if you want to listen in on the archives, is 515-604-9651, and the code is 612068 pound. Everybody, always look on the bright side of life. Good night.
That's right. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.